Our Bible reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 25 to 27, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. So John 19, verse 25 to 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I long to say that every week, you know. It is wonderful to be here with you this morning, and it's truly a privilege for Andrew and myself to have travelled from Kettering this morning to be with you down that motorway. 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, 40 miles, horrendous. Anyway, and we're here. We're smiling. And the other reason I was late was because I had to call into the doctor's surgery for my COVID jab and flu jab. So if I go like that, you'll know why. Anyway, good morning, and it's lovely to see you all on this sunny Sabbath morning. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will give me clarity of word as I deliver this sermon, and that the words I say will be your words of encouragement in my listeners' ears. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just carrying on from our lesson started this morning, and the comments that were made during our missions appeal concerning giving each person a Bible. Now, if you're invited to give Bible studies, or you want, or people are asking you to give them Bible studies, or even where to start reading the Bible, I would suggest that it's probably best to start with John's Gospel. The Gospel of John is my favourite book. Now, if anyone asks you, "I want to start reading the Bible," it's probably best not to advise them to start with Genesis. It's a great book, but by the time you get to Leviticus, it can begin to get a little slow going. Tell them to start with John. It's my favourite book. The reason I love the Gospel of John is because John is always talking about Jesus and pointing people to Jesus. Today, I want to concentrate on the words of Jesus spoken from the cross, which are only recorded in the Gospel of John. Now, as I start this sermon, I'm well aware that in Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus records his first words from the cross, "Father, forgive them." And we note from that the tense of that verb leads to repetition of continued saying. So when they planted into his hands those dreadful nails, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Even when the criminals were heaping insults on him, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." When the priests and the rulers were mocking him, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." So when we hear that prayer, it's a prayer for us too. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." The second saying of Jesus from the cross is also recorded in Luke 23, in verses 39 to 43. And they are those of the blasphemers. One of the criminals crucified either side of Jesus, who'd been heaping insults upon Jesus, finally came to his senses as Jesus continues to pray for all the people. "Father, forgive them." And something happens in the heart of one of those criminals as they're saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." He continues to hear Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them." And he cries out, perhaps in his heart at first, and then later finally verbalizes. For it says he continues to say, "Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus then spoke the paradise promise to him. "I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Now, John speaks up and records the third saying, and I'd like you to open your Bibles to John 19, to that same chapter that we had our scripture reading from this morning. Perhaps we should call it sayings from the cross, because there are two parts that John records in John 19. And I'd like to begin with verse 25, just for the context, and to read 26 and 27. So if you've all got your Bibles opened to John 19, verse 25 to 27. Because John records that standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there, now you'll notice this little inference that Jesus' focus is where? That Jesus' focus is on his mother. It doesn't say he saw his mother, her sister, and Mary Magdalene. It says Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved. Now that's a reference to John, who wrote this gospel. And Jesus said to his mother, and I'm reading now from the New International Version, "Dear woman," this is a term of endearment, "dear woman," and I think it's possibly a good translation. "Here is your son," but I like the King James, which says, "Behold your son." And to the disciples, referring to John, "Behold," or "here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, the second part of this saying from the cross seems fairly simple to me. Mary is emotionally distraught. She's grieving as her son has been beaten, abused, flogged, and now nailed to a cross. Hanging naked between heaven and earth, scorned and ridiculed, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is grieving at the foot of the cross. I'm sure you can all visualize that. Yes, the second part of the saying is simple. I understand it. when speaking to John, Jesus saying, "Behold your mother." The message is clear. John, please take care of my mother. And we don't have to guess what was intended. John understood immediately. Read the text. Verse 27 said that from that time he took her mother to his home, literally took her as his own. Not just stuck her in his home and brought her to his circle of family. So the second part of those words seem very simple to me. Jesus is caring for the physical needs of his mother and says to John, "Care for her as your mother. Behold your mother." And John understood. The challenge that I'm faced with is the first part of the saying from the cross, recorded by John. Please look at this again in your Bibles, in John 19, verse 26. For the first words John records that Jesus speaks in the third saying of Jesus from the cross are, "Dear woman, behold your son." Now, to me, there are two possible interpretations of these words. So listen very carefully. There are two possible interpretations to "woman, behold your son." One interpretation is that Jesus is saying to his mother, "Look at John, he is your son now." In other words, he's telling his mother to relate to John as a son. You say, well, that makes sense, because he tells John to relate to his mother, to Mary as his mother. It's like every commentator I've read, that is what they say. "Behold your son." Jesus is saying, "Mary, look at John as your son now." Maybe it's just too obvious. Mother, son, son, mother. Maybe this would have made the perfect Mother's Day sermon. Jesus took care of his mother, and we should too. I sincerely believe we should take care of our mothers, and I have no doubt in the second part of the saying that Jesus is asking John to take care of his mother. But I want to challenge you today with a second possible interpretation of the first words of Jesus. What does it say? It says, "Woman, behold your son." I want to challenge you with this thought. Maybe some of you that are Bible scholars will say there was a Puritan theologian who wrote about this, but I've not come across one yet. I want to challenge you that when Jesus says to his mother, "Behold your son," he's not telling her to look at John, but rather to himself. I'll say that again. He is not telling her to look at John, but rather to himself. Jesus is saying to his mother, "Mother, behold your son. Hold on, Mary. When everyone is ridiculing me and mocking me, hold on. Keep on looking to Jesus." You say, "Brother John, give me some evidence for that second interpretation." Well, let me ask you a question. Only John records that, right? "Behold your son." Go back to the beginning of the Gospel of John. Do you remember another "behold"? At the beginning of John's Gospel, a loud cry, right at the beginning, only recorded in John's Gospel. No, it wasn't Jesus speaking. It wasn't Mary. It was a bold prophet of God in John 1 verse 29. And that bold prophet of God, who was he? What was his name? Anyone know? Yes, John the Baptist. In John 1 verse 29, he cries out when Jesus comes to be baptized. What does he cry out? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I think it's rather interesting that John begins his gospel by recording John the Baptist's words. Behold, the Lamb of God. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he ends his gospel with, behold, your son. Do you know what's right in the middle? In the middle of John's gospel, in John 12, verse 32, it's written, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will what? I will draw all men to myself. Now that's only recorded in the Gospel of John, as is John 3, verse 14 to 16, which reads, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You see, the whole book of John is about pointing to Jesus. John 20, verse 30 and 31 says this, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Only John records Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only John records through his book that when we were searching the scriptures to find out how much we knew, Jesus says to them, you diligently study the scripture because you think that by them you possess eternal life. That's in John 5, verse 39. And verse 40 goes on to say, these are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The whole book of John is about looking to Jesus. Do you think that Jesus, with his mother emotionally distraught and everyone ridiculing him, don't you think he would not only care for her physical needs, John, take care of my mother. Don't you think that he would also take care of her soul? Keep looking to Jesus. Behold your son. It's as if Jesus was saying to his mother, 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 remember what the angel Gabriel told you. Look with me in Luke 1. And you can read those words that Mary stored in her heart. In Luke 1, the angel Gabriel appears to her. You know the words recorded in verse 35 of that chapter. This angel Gabriel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called. What does it say in your Bible? Will be called what? The Son of God. Hold on, Mary. Hold on. Keep looking to Jesus. It's as if Jesus is reminding his mother by saying, Mother, remember what was revealed to your husband Joseph in a dream. She knew what had been shown to Joseph. Look in Matthew 1, verse 20. It records the revelation to Joseph when he was thinking of putting Mary aside. I mean, she was betrothed to him, but was pregnant, and it wasn't his. He's struggling. So Matthew 1 verse 20 states, but after he'd considered this, that is putting her aside, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Remember, Mary, what was revealed to Joseph. People are mocking. He saves others. He cannot save himself. Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. Realizing at this time, most of the disciples have fled in fear. But John is there supporting the mother of Jesus. But Jesus speaks to his mother and he says, behold your son. Hold on. Perhaps he's encouraging her to remember what Simeon said in Luke 2. And she'd store that in her heart as well. Luke 2, at the time of the dedication. Notice verse 34, which reads, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. Hold on, Mary. He saves others. He cannot save himself. But remember what the prophet foretold. Notice as I read on in verse 34 and now verse 35, a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Yes, even the heart of the thief hanging next to Jesus begins to cry out and say, Lord, will you remember me? The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And Simeon ends and says, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Oh yes, Mary, the mother of Jesus, feels that sword piercing her heart as she's there at the foot of the cross. Everyone ridiculing her son. Jesus not only cares that she's physically taken care of, John, take care of my mother, but he cares about her soul. Behold your son, hold on, hold on. Perhaps more than anything, Jesus wants Mary to remember the words of John the Baptist. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he uses the words, behold. It triggers back a memory in her mind. Mary wasn't there, of course, but I'm sure the testimony was brought back to her. When Jesus left Nazareth at the age of 30 years of age and came to Jordan to be baptized, Mary got word back that when her son came to the Jordan to be baptized by that great prophet of God, John the Baptist, he cried out. What did he cry out? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hold on, Mary. Just you hold on. Jesus speaks, I want to suggest to you, a second possible interpretation. It's not just that, yes, you will say, my mother, take care of her. But he speaks to Mary's heart to hold on in faith. That he indeed is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that counsel isn't just for Mary, but it's for all of us. In the hardest times of our life, when people are mocking, and it seems that our world is falling apart, keep your eyes fixed firmly on Jesus. Isn't that what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3? There it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Again, keep looking is the understanding. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I quite like the other translation, which says the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Yes, they were shaming him, but he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Did he not suffer opposition as they gathered around the cross and mocked him? There stood his mother in the midst, in emotional distress. But consider him who endured such opposition from men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Mary, don't grow weary. Don't lose heart, mother, is what Jesus is saying. Woman, dear woman, behold your son. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Or as that simple gospel song says that we sang earlier, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That is what he's telling her. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Yes, you'll still have your mockers. You'll still have your blasphemers. But turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, I don't know what you personally are going through in your lives. Maybe you say, my life feels like I'm going through the worst experience in my life, just as Mary at the foot of the cross. I mean, how much worse can it get? Watching her son die a shameful death. Jesus speaks truth to her and also to us. He says, keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Don't lose heart. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus, you can face life or death. It doesn't matter what is happening in this world around you. It doesn't matter, even if it's coming apart at the seams. It just doesn't matter. Hold on. Keep focusing on Jesus. And that, my friends, is what I believe Jesus is saying to his mother at the foot of the cross, as well as asking John to take care of her. And we need it too, don't we? So whatever you're dealing with today, even if you have a loved one going through a terminal illness, whatever you're going through, you've got to keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus, just like Mary had to. Irrespective of what the scoffers say or the mockers say, it really doesn't matter. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Turn to him and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, let them grow strangely dim in the light of his magnificent glory and his abundant grace. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for these words of Jesus from the cross. I thank you for that beautiful picture of Jesus wanting to care for his mother. What a lesson for us all, to care for those whom you've entrusted in our circle of life. I want to thank you that John responded to the appeal, behold your mother, and cared for Mary by bringing her not only to his house, but into his home and into his life. Whatever that means to us, I thank you that you apply it to our lives today, to love as you did, Jesus. I want to thank you for that heartfelt appeal to your mother to keep looking to Jesus. Behold your son. To not lose hope in the midst of the scoffers and the mockers, but to turn our eyes towards Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, let them grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Whatever we're dealing with today, may we take that word from the cross, and may we listen to the appeal from Jesus and keep our eyes fixed upon him, the author and finisher of our faith. Until the day we see Jesus face to face, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.